From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the first day of December 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Clarion, Iowa. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities is out of the office for the afternoon. During the program today, we'll also take up the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. We'll discuss the ag energies with Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. And the state statisticians will give us their final updates and weekly crop progress reports from Illinois and Iowa, as well as Minnesota, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, nearby corn futures, that's the lead option. December down a nickel at 414 and three quarters. The March 5 at a quarter lower at 420 and three quarters. And May corn at 424 on the settlement price, down a nickel. January bean, 6.5 lower, $11.62 the settlement price. March at 1163, down 6.5. And May beans at 1161. They finished 6.75 of a cent lower. Bean oil futures at 37.40 on their settlement price, 48 cents lower. And wheat futures, settled the soft red down 14 and three quarters at $5.65.5. Feeder cattle at $141.65 finished 60 cents higher for the day, and live cattle at $110.62.5 were up 45 cents. We're now joined by Sue Martin from Ag and Investment Services in Clarion, Iowa. Great to have you here, Sue.
Well, it's great to be here.
Let's turn our attention to the marketplace. We were kind of hoping, or at least some traders were hoping, for a turnaround Tuesday, and kind of looked like that was going to happen, but corn and beans didn't manage to pull it off. Can you tell me what happened in Chicago?
Well, I think that the forecast of rain is part of this in Brazil and Argentina, but the rains so far are pretty spotty. And so we'll see what happens, because it sounds like that the rains are going to start to pick up, especially starting late tomorrow through the rest of the week and more in the center part of the country. However, I think that another thing that's happened here is technically the market was trying to get up to that $12 level and get through it. We have two-way four counts in the January beans at 1203 and 1205, and then you have the 2016 high of 1208.5. So there are layers of resistance there, and wave fours are just pretty important. So the market gave up a little ground, and of course, at the end of September, we broke into September 29th, had about a week's break there. Then we broke into the latter part of October into November 2nd and had a pretty little nice little sell-off there. And then here we are at the end of November into early December, and we're trying to do it again. The markets that we have been following, or the patterning, we felt all along this year was following the year of 1980-81. And that year, we seen beans make higher highs for the year in September. And when we did that, there's only been in the last 50 years 8 times that we've done something similar. And out of those 8 times, we went on, 2 of them peaked with the September rally, and then was, you know, just never looked back. And then the other 6 went on to see higher highs in October, higher highs in November. 5 of those 6 went on and made higher highs in December. 1 did not. And then all 6 made higher highs in January. I think before super long, we're going to start to have the trade thinking about what the numbers, the stats are going to be like on the supply-demand report, the yield. What does it do? Does it come down again? In 2010-11, corn, we have felt, was following that year. And in that year, you had yields drop from August to September, from September to October to November, and again in the final. Will it do it? So far, it's following that path, but we'll see. But corn got up to 440, actually 439 and a half. And 440 is like one of those little lines in the sand that we're trying to cross barriers through. But we do have an outside year going. Usually an outside year or an outside range will close at the extreme or in the extreme portion of that range of time frame. In this case, the upper portion, we think by the end of December, we'll see these markets try to close back firmer. The one thing I thought today was so interesting, I can't remember if it was March of 2019 or March of 2018, but way back when, nobody had really noticed, but Costco International Grain was taking soybean deliveries, 90% of them or more every time there was deliveries. And they were sliding under the radar, so to speak, and you weren't noticing it. And all of a sudden, we started noticing it and said, oh, my God, this is not how they normally take beans. China, usually it's announced they're taking them or what have you on your weekly or daily sales. And we weren't seeing that. They were taking the actual deliveries. Well, today, first time that I can think of, Costco International Grain took all of the Chicago wheat deliveries today. And I thought that was so interesting. They were 100 contracts put out by various houses, and Costco took every one of them. Now, we're going to have to watch that because this may be another telling sign that China's supplies just aren't as stellar as they say they are, or the quality of that grain just isn't quite up to snuff like it should be. You know, they had a year of horrific weather. And, you know, we, in fact, in our commentary last night on our website, we talked about the food shortages and the potential that could be occurring in China. So, you know, I just thought that was so interesting because I've never seen them do that before.
And COFCO and Sinograin are the state-owned enterprises in China. So that makes that is a big because it's state-owned, it makes it very interesting to think about them purchasing a product that you make bread and crackers and cookies and cakes and all those sorts of things out of directly. So it goes to foodstuffs.
Exactly.
Any final note before I let you go? 15 or 20 seconds or so?
Well, I don't think our highs are in. This is just my opinion in the corn and soybeans yet, but it's all how you get there. I think we'll see higher highs in January in the beans and probably in corn as well. By the way, the 8 years that I talked about that we are following the pattern, I did go back and look at the July contract in the next year out. And I want to say I believe in at least, I want to say 6 out of the 8 July beans went higher the next year. And the earliest that they peaked was actually in the year of 2010-11, July beans put their high in on February 9th. The rest of them, they kind of pushed more into the spring. And so it's going to be interesting to watch and see how this all unfolds. But I don't see China letting go of, you know, washing out of trade, so to speak, from the U.S. just yet. I think that why would they do that when they need to see a sure thing that Brazil's weather is turning back more favorable to bring a crop on? I think China's going to be very concerned. And one more little tidbit. This morning, I was talking with a large hog producer in northwest Iowa, and the elevator that they get feed from, they were talking to the elevator manager, and the elevator manager made the comment that all the beans that are in the elevator at that time, only 2% was owned by farmers. And I hear that in other places, too. And I thought that was rather interesting.
Hey, Sue, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. You have a great day.
You too. Sue Martin is with Ag and Investment Services. You can find her in Clarion, Iowa. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released its last weekly crop progress report for the 2020 growing season. The first weekly report, by the way, for 2021 will be released on Monday, the 5th day of April. There were no national numbers released for corn or for soybeans. However, wheat emergence is now said to be 92%. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 91%, and the condition of that crop is 40% good. and 6% excellent. That's up from the 37 and 6 from the previous week, but down from last year when 41% of the winter wheat crop was in good condition and 11% was in excellent condition. Now, let's get an update on field conditions in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. Not because they really matter so much at this point in the year. However, it might be important to pay attention to the subsoil and soil moisture levels.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. Scattered rain and snow showers only allowed Iowa farmers 4.6 days suitable for field work during the week ending November 29, 2020. The southeastern portion of the state received the most precipitation. Field work activities included harvesting corn for grain, baling corn stalks, applying fertilizer and manure, and hauling grain to elevators. Topsoil moisture condition rated 12% very short, 28% short, 58% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture condition rated 20% very short, 33% short, 46% adequate, and 1% surplus. Only 1% of Iowa's corn for grain crop remains to be harvested, over 2 weeks ahead of last year and just over 1 week ahead of the 5-year average. Most of the scattered fields left to harvest are in the southern one-third of the state. Cattle remain on corn stalk fields. Producers continue to haul water for cattle on corn stalks. Fluctuating temperatures have caused some stress for calves in hutches. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois temperatures averaged nearly 4 degrees above normal last week, even though some northern areas received their first snow of the season, and many parts of Illinois got a hard freeze near the end of the week. Rainfall was also above normal last week across most of the prairie state. The state averaged nearly 1.2 inches of rain, and that is more than 1/4 inch above normal for this time of year. Soil temperatures were in the mid-30s to lower 40s across Illinois. There were 3.8 days suitable for field work across the state last week, and topsoil moisture supplies increased to just 3% very short, 13 short, 69 adequate, and 15% surplus. Subsoil moisture was 5% very short, 18 short, 69 adequate, and 8% surplus. 99% of the Illinois wheat crop has emerged compared to 97% 1 year ago and 95% for the 5-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop improved and is now 4% poor, 17% fair, and 79% of winter wheat acres are in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. There were 5.3 days suitable for field work during another week with warmer than normal temperatures. The warm, dry weather conditions slightly decreased overall topsoil and subsoil moisture supply statewide, although this growing season comes to a close with mostly adequate soil moisture. Topsoil moisture condition rated 2% very short, 11% short, 83% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture condition rated 3% very short, 15% short, 78% adequate, and 4% surplus. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go, of course, to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress reports during the growing season. This was the last report of the 2020 year. 2021, again, will pick up on April the 5th. In the mean space, a couple of other notes. I told you to pay attention to the subsoil moisture levels. As you heard, Iowa was fairly dry. Parts of Illinois are also dry, and I made note that my own well, which never goes dry, of course, and still doesn't because I sit on the Mahomet Aquifer here in East Central Illinois, began to stink just a little bit today. That was because, well, when it gets low enough, it gets down to the point where it changes in the rock formations, and well, we get some of that egg smell in our water. Not much, but just a little. So drier in our part of the world as well. The meteorologist will tell us that makes little difference because things change in the spring and it usually rains. So we'll keep track of that and we'll keep asking meteorologists questions about rainfall and dry conditions in the United States and of course, what's been happening in South America as well. By the way, here in the United States, things have changed in terms of the length of the growing season. Some of the work that Eric Snodgrass has done suggests it's 8 days longer from frost to frost in this part of the world, East Central Illinois. And if you get into the Dakotas, North Dakota has some areas which are nearly a month longer in their growing season from frost to frost now than they were in the 60s, 70s, and parts of the 80s. Let's check the agricultural energy sector. Harry Cooney is here from GrowMark. He keeps track of what's happening with the ag energies in general. Hi, Harry. Thanks so much. I bet the thing you've been watching mostly over the last day or so is the OPEC meeting. What's been happening there?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. On the first day of the new month here, kind of a cool, crisp Tuesday afternoon here. Yeah, the OPEC meeting has been going on now. It started yesterday overseas, and we're expecting an announcement here sometime today. However, it appears now that the real announcement on what they plan to do for output has been pushed back till about Thursday, and some of that sounds like it's coming on the heels of some disagreement between the OPEC members as to how they should watch individual members to make sure they're adhering to the policies. And of course, that's always you put a group of people or a group of countries or whoever together, and you can make all the rules you want, but you got to make sure they adhere to them. And that's been a problem in OPEC for quite a while. So we'll see what they come out with. So the market here today is actually setting back a little bit on a little disappointment from that lack of information out of that OPEC meeting. But of course, the market's rallied here substantially here during the month of November. It started down around 36 and it rallied to 46. So it's had a pretty good run on the upside.
Yeah, so crude rallied, but I filled up my gas tank for $1.71 in Champaign County yesterday.
Yeah.
That just seems really cheap.
Yeah, it seemed really cheap, especially given that run. I was surprised that some of these local gas pumps here in Illinois didn't make more of a jump here recently than that. I mean, some of them have firmed up a little bit, but they're still, like you say, very reasonable compared to history. And I think that some traders are still have concerns about the virus and that for down the road. I mean, they can tell that, this isn't just going to come out of it, by next Tuesday or something like that. It's going to take a little while to work it through the system. And usually our weakest price periods of the month are right here now, from usually Thanksgiving through Christmas, even though they're big travel holidays. It's usually some of our weakest prices come here during December and sometimes into January. And so we're into that period here now.
And you often say or tell us during that time frame that it's a good point at which producers and others that are end users should lock in some prices, probably for diesel fuel and other products. Is that right?
Well, that's right. Yeah, usually I'll say the team, when we talk to customers and talk to our FS member cooperatives, we'll talk about the window of opportunity, and usually that window of opportunity opens between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. And so we don't see that this year should be any different. Yes, there's a lot of differences in the years compared to other years and all that, but we see that these are some opportunities here. In fact, the team recently put out some buy recommendations in propane, actually, for next fall and winter. Started with some propane recommendations, and then we'll be looking to make some liquid fuel recommendations, especially in diesel fuel here, over the next several weeks. So start getting your list together. I know that Cyber Monday was yesterday, all the deals, but start getting your list together on what what you'd like to buy in the fuel end for your operations and get ready for the new year. So it's there's still some great opportunities out there to be had compared to history, especially.
On the propane, is that related to the warmer weather that we have had and also the fact that we had just dry conditions and we didn't use a lot of propane to dry down a corn crop?
Well, that's right. And especially people are looking back to last year. But you got to remember, last year at this time, we had a late planted crop, we had a late harvested crop, and people are saying, well, it was down, demand was down compared to last year. Yeah, but last year was like a peak in demand. And so we're back down near what we've been in other years before last year. So this year was, yes, down dramatically from last year. And the price, so you're right, it was partially weakened here because of the warm November we had. And really, the forecast for December is still somewhat mild. In fact, some graphics I saw this morning suggest that there's still some warm pools of air up in southwest Canada and western Canada that's unusual at this time of the year. Usually, it'd be starting to get real cold up there. They're actually looking at above normal temperatures up there for the next couple of weeks or so.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Harry Cooney. He is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thank you, Don, for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
Let's start in South America, Mato Grosso in particular. A dry start to the growing season. It has been dry. The markets have reacted because there's been rainfall. Will there be more?
Well, it does look like there will be more rainfall. Now, it may not cover all of that growing area. The southern areas are going to fare the best with the best chances of precipitation. This is going to be especially true here over the next 5 to 7 days. In fact, it even looks like there could be some pretty decent amounts of rain. But you can kind of slice that region in half. The northern areas are going to remain dry, so it's not going to cover that whole area. But there does appear to be better opportunities for rain over the next week to 10 days.
The other dry areas we have been worried about are parts of the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the United States. Can you take me through them?
Yeah, and that's going to continue to be a concern. I will also tell you this, it's not a surprise. We're in a moderate La Nina right now, and it may strengthen here a bit and even get stronger. And in La Ninas historically that we have experienced in the past, that is an area that does tend to be dry, and it's really hard in December and into early January to get a type of pattern that's going to bring any real significant amount of moisture away. With that said, there's a little bit of light to moderate precipitation that could come into those areas over the next week to 10 days, but it's going to fall below normal in terms of the amounts.
Just for clarification's sake, La Niñas tend to have greater correlation into winter months in the Northern Hemisphere, in particular in the United States, than they do in the summer months. So just because it's dry in South America does not mean we'll have a dry growing season in the United States next summer. Is that a correct assumption?
A little bit, although the thing that we got to watch really carefully is what happens with the La Nina when we get into late winter and early spring. If we continue to see it, that may have some impact on precipitation patterns late spring and summer in some of the key growing areas. Again, the bias with La Nina tends to be more in the western part of the United States than the Corn Belt, but the western Corn Belt could be impacted. So it's something we're going to have to monitor throughout the course of the winter. Right now, the long-range computer modeling of those sea surface temperatures between South America and along the equator to the west towards Australia are still forecasted to be colder than average all the way up through April or May.
I suppose what you've just told me means we should be a little more concerned than usual about the dry conditions in Nebraska.
I would. And that is one state in particular, the central and western areas, that can be dry in La Niñas. And this is a La Niña that is as strong as we have seen going back 10 or 11 years or so. So I do think it's going to be a player heading into the 2021 growing season.
What's the weather like for the Midwest over the next week?
Well, very average early December weather. We're going to have some bouts of cold. We have yet to see a big buildup or a big release of a brutally cold Arctic shot, more towards a trending colder, more average December temperature pattern. And right now, the bias of the best chance of moisture and precipitation is going to be more towards New England, the southern and eastern parts of the Ohio Valley, and along the East Coast. It'll be colder, but really not a lot of precipitation either.
Hey, thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, and there you'll find a link for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We kicked those off earlier today. You can still join us. The Agricultural Economist and I have four more meetings left. These are just 1 hour long, start at 11 o'clock Central Time, Friday, Tuesday, through the 15th of December. So four more are left, and you can join us for free. Registration is right there on the Farm Doc Daily website. More than 1,400 have already registered. Won't you please join us, too? I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.